Welcome, hustlers, players, and squares. You are now tuned in to the W. James Dennis Podcast. All things game, all the time. Sit back and soak it up. WJamesD.com. Now, let's get in motion.
Okay, welcome everyone to the Virtual Empowerment Book Club by LEAD. We are thankful to have the author of our book on the line, Mr. James Dennis, who I will go in and introduce a little bit later. I want to welcome any of the guests who are on the call this evening and just tell you a little bit about why this book club was formed, what the purpose of it is, and then we'll jump right in. This is not an extremely professional zone. We invite you to be yourself on this call. It is a book club. It is a discussion. There are no right or wrong responses to anything. We just want you to gain the knowledge that is necessary for you to move forward and grow in your business. The book club was actually introduced to us by a former member of LEAD. She came to us, and she's a very avid reader, and she said, why don't we start a book club? And I said, you know, that would be a really great idea because, unlike myself, I'm the type of person that I want to read, but when life happens, when we start having kids, when work starts happening, guess what? We kind of lose sight of the things that we really like and love to do. So reading those books, I thought would be a great way to introduce more growth into the organization as well as bring more collaboration and connection amongst the members. With the book club, we focus on business books. We focus on self-empowerment books, those books that have that will bring a positive atmosphere to LEAD. So I do invite, if there are any books that you may have read in the past or any books that you come across that you know about that will be good for us to read to introduce to the organization, please let me know so that we can go ahead and get those introduced. As a part of the book club, we do ask that you are just respectful of each person's opinions and what they have received from this book because it is about perception. Which is also another great reason to have the authors on the line because we now can get the perception of the author and not just what we think it should be or what we may have gotten from it as well. So it's really just a great way to discuss and see the different perspectives that come out of the readings. We also ask that at the end of reading these books, out of respect for the authors, we ask that you submit a review to them, submit a testimonial to them, so that they can share that amongst more readers because we are about supporting other small business owners. I am so true to supporting the small business owners. 90% of our books will probably come from small business owners. We will get to other books by Tony Robbins and some of the other experts out there who are millionaires, billionaires, and all of that, but we definitely want to support our own small business owners and try to figure out how we can collaborate and help them to grow their businesses. So once we're done with the book, we do ask that you submit that review. And we also ask that if you are a member, you are welcome to bring in a guest on each book. Well, myself, I am a mompreneur. I always say I'm a mompreneur. Why? Because I work my own business. I have two kids, my husband, and all of that includes being a mom. I am the founder of LEAD. The organization was founded to be a support system for new and aspiring entrepreneurs. We support and develop. I always look at LEAD as 60% support and 40% development. And the reason for that is because we always come across those individuals who need more support than anything when it comes to building your business and staying in business, because a lot of times we leave our business ideas on the table because we don't have anyone that we can actually support. So just, you know, letting you know that that's the reason that LEAD was formed, and we are very, very proud of what we have to be able to support other entrepreneurs, hence the reason I seek small business owners who are authors to bring into and introduce into this book club. Now, we're going to get a little bit more relaxed. Mr. Dennis, I really don't know if I should go through a full introduction for you. I'm just going to say that Mr. Dennis is just super awesome. He's an amazing author. He's a great speaker. He has a lot of knowledge. I had the opportunity to speak to someone last night who I did not even know looked at Mr. Dennis as a mentor. They reached out to me with regards to the book club, and they're all the way in Chicago. If I'm correct, his books are like over in another country somewhere, and that happened in like a matter of months, I want to say. And I think that's pretty much enough for your introduction, so I'll let you take it from there. We're going to talk a little bit about some of the things that we read in the book that we may have found interesting or interesting points to discuss, and then we'll let you put your perspective on it, Mr. Dennis, to see where we, you know, was our perspective the same as yours. So if you want to just give a brief introduction of yourself, and then we'll jump right into the book.
Okay, fair enough. First off, thank you, ladies, for having me. I definitely support LEAD and what it represents and what it's trying to do. I think that's so important. I know when I got started, nothing like that existed. If it did, I didn't know about it. Real briefly, 15 years old, I got my first job. It was an after-school job. I was in high school, and I worked at a middle school in my neighborhood, and I used to scrape them off the floors, empty trash cans, wash chalkboards, basically clean up classrooms. And at 15, I realized that working for other people wasn't really my cup of tea. So I took my little after-school checks, my money for my checks. My parents didn't ask me for any of my money. So I took the little money I had, and in my mind, I was like, well, let me look into business. So I started buying books and magazines, and eventually that led to courses. And back then, courses came on cassettes. That's a long, long, long time ago. But courses came on cassettes, and I just used to spend all that money just to try to learn and understand business. A lot of that stuff was boring. A lot of that stuff was garbage. Some of it became useful later. But at 17, I decided to take a shot. I started my first business, which failed terribly because I thought I was ready. I wasn't ready. Then my second business, when I actually moved out here to Atlanta, I started that business with Star's husband, actually, and another close friend of ours. So that was a joint partnership, and we kind of operated independently, although we invested our money together. That business failed, and at that point, that was my early 20s, and I was still collecting books, magazines, courses, and still studying. And I felt like I was missing something, and I didn't really understand what I was missing. So Unlocking the Small Business Game is the book I wish I had when I first started, because I, of all the books I've ever read, none of them really dealt with in the ones I've read, and it could exist, but I never ran across any book that dealt with understanding very basic business concepts, putting them in plain, simple English so they're easy to absorb, easy to use, and you can actually understand what you're supposed to be doing, why you're supposed to be doing it, and how you're supposed to be doing it, because each of the chapters in that book explain very simple principles, and all these things are important, how to communicate, how to, you know, use certain words and not use certain words. I really deal with the mindset that a beginning and aspiring entrepreneur needs to have, and that's what I was missing as I was getting all this information. You know, you learn about all these other avenues of business, but when you're just getting started, you really need to have the proper mindset. So that's pretty much what I focus on when it comes to business.
Awesome. Nine times out of ten, I've probably gotten a little bit further than most people on the call. I'm going to start with, and as always, I've written down like 1, 2, 3, 4. I have about 12, 15 pages out of the book that I've already been able to kind of connect with. But the first one was talking about no, and that's on page 45. I'm kind of working backwards. So okay. if you go to page 45 in the book, and James, we've only gotten up to chapter 8. So that's where we're supposed to be at today, is at the end of chapter 8.
Okay, right before the techniques and strategies. Okay, no problem.
Yes. So, but what really set with me, because I know I struggle with this so long, like it took me forever to get out of that hole. We don't want to hear people telling us no. We're like, okay. I think I've heard enough no's in my life. Why no? Why you just got to keep saying no? Like, you know, until we really understand the statistics of people saying no, like, you got to go through, like, so many no's to get to a yes, but you have to
right.
accept that you got to go through so many no's to get to a yes. But the
right.
most important thing that I saw was when you said, the next time someone tells you no, say thank you. And I was like, what? But then I kept reading, right? Because I was like, wait a minute. Now, we need to say, why am I thanking them for saying no? You know, but you made a good point when you said, basically, they're saving you time. Because they're saving me time from continuing to stand there and talk to them about something that they just don't need at this time. And that
right.
really sometimes means at this time. It doesn't mean that it's always a no. It just means at this time, or they may not need it. But the point of it is, you tell them thank you because now you can go take those 30 minutes that you probably would have been talking to them and move on to somebody else who may actually need your product or service. So if anyone is listening to this and they have that fear of no, take this information and run with it and use that and understand the statistics behind it, because in the book he talks about what is it, doing the, you want to, oh, you related it to a book of matches.
Right, and law of average.
Yeah, the law of leverage. You take that book of matches and you pull out a match every time somebody says no, but then you know how many yeses you got out of that matchbook. So it kind of helps you to understand your own statistics and the numbers when it comes to what you have to do to get the business for yourself. That's the way I saw it, anyway.
Yeah. No, perfect. That's perfect. And I'm glad you brought up time, because this is something. This is actually not in the book, but I'll mention it here because it's very relevant, is understanding the importance of your time as an entrepreneur. And so if I came to you and asked you, hey, Star, I have $86,000 that I'm going to give you straight cash. I'm going to hand it to you. You can spend it on whatever you want. No limits. Would you be able to spend all of that in one day?
Oh, gosh, probably. If I spend it on junk, yeah.
You can spend it on whatever you want. It doesn't even matter. Just as long as you spend
it on
a single buy.
I will not spend it all in one day, not me.
You couldn't spend $86,000 in one day? Free cash?
I thought you said 86 million.
Uh-uh, 86,000.
Oh, 86,000. Yeah, I can make a list of everything right now that I would go and do with that money.
Okay. And if I came back the next day and gave you another $86,000, I'm pretty sure you could spend that again, too, all in one day. It wouldn't even, you know, you can come up with something. And, you know, the next question would be, what's actually more important in life? Is it time or money? And we all know naturally that time is more important than money because you have a limited amount of time. So each of us have 86,400 seconds per day. And we need to really pay attention to how we spend those seconds, because you have to spend them. You're going to spend them all in one day. And you never know when you'll no longer have those seconds to spend. So when we look at it from an entrepreneur standpoint, we really want to make the best use of our time, because your time is very, very valuable and it's very important. Just like we get up in the daytime, you have your little morning routine. I'll just give a basic, just general example. Let's say your alarm goes off. Let's say you have a job. Your alarm goes off. First thing you might do is look at your phone, see if you missed any social media messages, text messages, phone calls, or whatever. You roll out of bed, get in the shower, get out, you know, brush your teeth, do your hair, whatever, start getting the kids ready, eat breakfast, get the kids out, then you're out. And this routine that you do, as long as there's nothing crazy going on, you pretty much follow the same routine every single day, day in, day out, on a work day, right? As an entrepreneur, since you're the boss, you also need to develop your own routines that enable you to do what you're supposed to be doing in business. Because a business is like the human body. Like, the human body needs oxygen. It needs blood flow. It needs food in order to survive. So in order for a business to survive, it needs cash flow. So your time is dedicated to getting that cash flow. So when somebody tells you no, and cut you off, that's actually helping you because you're saving your most valuable asset, number one, which is time. That's actually helping you. And if you want to look at it, this is another perspective, another way to look at it. Every time you're told no, you're actually making money because as you go through your no's, eventually you're going to get to a yes. So just very, very simple example. You go through nine no's. The 10th person you ask says yes. Let's just say you make $1. I'm just keeping this real simple. You make $1 off of that 10th person. That means each person that told you no, they saved you time, and they actually paid you 10 cents apiece because that 10th person gave you a dollar or spent a dollar with you. So you're saving time, and you're actually making money. It's just a perspective on the way you look at it. Because people, the way we're programmed, mentally programmed, as we go through life, no is just like this terrible, terrible thing. And, you know, we do this to our kids all the time. No, don't do that. No, don't touch that. Please stop. No. And we kind of take some of that with us into adolescence, young adulthood, and adulthood. We just do not like hearing no. We take that personal as a sign of rejection or something that may be a reflection in ourselves that we're not able to, we're not as capable as we could be. And it's usually not any of that. And like you brought up, Star, sometimes it's just no for that moment. And this is what I learned because I was a street hustler. And I learned this on the streets. Just even people that tell you no at that moment, they may buy from you later as long as you're consistent in what you're doing. They will see you around so much that either they're going to be like, okay, they're going to break down and try what you have. Or they'll know, they know because you're so consistent. They know, well, I don't really need anything from you, but I know somebody that does. And they'll refer somebody to you. So you're still winning. Never, never, ever let a no slow you down or break you down emotionally. And I've seen this happen to many, many entrepreneurs. I mean, I've had people like literally break down and go into tears out street hustling. You know, we were dropping bottles, as we call them. So, and they were selling perfumes and colognes at the time. And I've seen somebody actually break down in tears because they take it personal. You never take anything like that personal. Always look at the bigger picture.
Yeah. Okay, I'll be quiet now. I can relate to that because as you know me a little bit more personally, you know I'm a very emotional person. And
what?
In the beginning.
No, stop.
Yes, I'm very emotional. I think everyone who actually knows me, they know I'm emotional sometimes. But that no in the beginning, that was really what stopped me from even starting my own business because I felt like, why? No one is going to want what I have, number one.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, I just don't want to hear any more no's. Like, I've made so many accomplishments in life at this point. I'm good with the no's right now. Like, I don't want to go through 5-12 days hearing no. But as I've gone through business, you know, even a couple of the members in the organization, they can, you know, I can relate to this because there was a time where they weren't ready. But by me staying in contact with them and showing them how sincere I am about, more importantly, their growth, because everyone knows that this is not all about the money for me. It really is about me seeing individuals grow in their business and not give up. And staying in contact with them and I heard a couple of them say, you know what, I really appreciate you continuing to follow up with me. You know, so that goes back to that follow-up because you have to be able to identify, is that no a no, firm no, or is that no not right now, maybe later, I don't have the money. You never know what the no means, you know, and you have to be very careful about probing into the no, but at the same time, you also have to be able to identify, is it a firm no, and it's just really you need to move on and say, I'm not this person today. Or is it a not right now and, you know, follow back up with them or just keep putting it in their path so that they can see that this is something that may be valuable to them or something that they can deal with maybe later when they're able to financially or whatever the case may be.
Right.
And even if it's financially, you know, sometimes we have to go to a point of if we're really sincere about what we have to offer, you know, sometimes coming down is not always a bad thing. You talked about giving to receive, and I truly believe that in business that is very important, and you can look at that from several perspectives about the give to get part of it. So, you know, you want to relate to your customers and make sure that you're giving them what they need and you can relate to them on, you know, not just a business level. Sometimes you have to be relatable in a personal manner.
Yes, yes, relationships. Very, very important. Very important for business longevity. Absolutely.
Yeah, and on page 24, you talked about putting on a mask and your role in business and turning up the volume on your personality. I was like, wow, what is that? Turning up the volume on my personality. But the mask, I have always, well, first of all, I got this information from my husband, which you probably are aware of because you all, both of you went through this whole thing together. So I've learned a lot from the two of you. But ladies on the call, I'm pretty sure that some of you have heard me mention to develop that alter ego. And if I'm correct, that's what you're referring to, Mr. James?
Yeah, it's not necessarily the alter ego. You can look at it like that if that helps you. If that works for you, absolutely run with it. But you're kind of dialing down certain parts of your personality and turning up others. And we do this already naturally. It's not about being fake. We already naturally do this. You don't act the same way around your friends as you do your mother, 9 times out of 10. When you're in parent mode, you're not really going to treat your kids the same way that you would treat your friend at work. It's 9 times out of 10, it's not going to happen. So we just naturally have these personality shifts or masks that we put on depending on what environment we're in, what we're doing, because you're going to act a certain way at work. If you're in school, you're going to act a certain way in school. When you're at home, you're going to act a certain way. When you're around your friends, you're going to act a certain way. And it's not that you're being fake. It's just certain parts of your personality are just kind of toned down, and other parts of your personality are turned up. Now, since we do this unconsciously already, in the book, I just explain how to do this consciously to kind of create this role that you have as a business person. You just want to consciously do it now. And that's what that part of the chapter explains, how to consciously create your business role for yourself. Kind of look at yourself as the business person that you would want to deal with. What makes you comfortable? What kind of personality would you like? And just pull those things out of yourself. Again, it's not about being fake. It's just about kind of fine-tuning your business persona, your business person persona.
Okay. And then just to add on to that, in the book he mentioned on page 27 that, you know, when we design these new habits, which, you know, when you're out there trying to put on a different put that mask on and turning up different parts of your personality, as he would call it, I'm Star. So in business, that's how everybody knows me. Everyone knows me as Star, and I can relate because it doesn't matter what I'm going through in a day's time. If someone says Star, and this happens when I don't even realize it anymore. I used to realize it, but now I don't. As soon as I hear Star, it doesn't matter what I'm going through. Like, I immediately jump into entrepreneurship mode. It's just an automatic thing for me. But, you know, if you're not at that point yet, he does mention that you need to take the 30 to 45 days to do it consistently and make it a habit. And as we know, they say typically it takes 21 to 30 days to break a habit. If you've never tried to break a habit, now is the time to start, because in entrepreneurship, you're going to go through a lot of things where you're going to have to start breaking some of the habits that are old and bringing new things in. And even when it comes to having to get rid of certain things in your business to stay up to date with your clientele, that's going to be super important.
Let's see. I am only on chapter 3, I believe, so I'm still new to beginning.
Okay.
So far, the two things that hit me the most was, first, I love how it immediately started off talking about a hustler, because the way I grew up was the same way. You know, I grew up I grew up in a rough part of town.
Okay.
So a hustler meant a lot of the things that you said, and we also saw it as a hustler was someone who was desperate, who couldn't go out and get a job or didn't want to, or, you know, didn't want to, you know, couldn't do what everyone else was doing, so they were desperate, so they were doing whatever they had to do. So I like kind of how you explain it because it made me look at it a completely different way. And so I really like the parts about explaining the hustler and turning that point of view. Because I was like, well, actually, yeah, that would be what a hustler is. So I guess, yeah. I really like that part. And then the other part I really liked was, let me find it real quick. If I can trip and fall, and I'm walking around my house and doing this all the time. Which part was it? It was only, I think it was in chapter 2, and it was, I liked how you talked about, I loved when you talked about the gold rush, because that was another one that kind of, you know, a lot of well, you know, they think, okay, well, I need to come up with this. I couldn't be an entrepreneur, or I couldn't start my own business because I don't have this grand idea, or I don't have, because they're always thinking huge, you know, this really big, making millions of dollars. So they're thinking like way, way, way gone, when people forget about the little people that are there that are making all the money off of what you need and what others need to give them there. You know, so I really like that because a lot of people don't think about the little people. They hear entrepreneur and they're like, oh, you want to be this millionaire on your own and schedule your own time, and it doesn't quite work like that. And so I like that it was really real and it was easy to understand, because people don't understand that we put in a whole lot of work and a whole lot of hours and a whole lot of time.
We are the definition of crazy. An entrepreneur, by the definition of a regular average person, we are crazy. They don't get it. They don't get it. And it's okay. I mean, not everybody's supposed to get it, or it might not be their time to get it. But, yeah, we're crazy. It's okay.
We are.
Welcome to the club. Yeah, welcome to the club.
We do a lot of grinding. So.
Yes.
We do a lot of grinding.
To grind or not to grind, that should never be a question. All day. We grind all day. Yes.
But, you know, if you truly have found your calling, you know, as far as I'm concerned, then the grind doesn't bother you as much, because it doesn't bother me.
Yeah,
you know, when I'm working a lot, it doesn't bother me. It's not work to me. I don't hate Mondays. I'm excited to get back out there and let's see if I can, what money I can make today, and let's see what's going to happen today. So those are my favorite parts so far. I mean, I'm really liking it so far anyway, but since I've only gotten chapter 3.
No problem.
I'm liking so far.
Yeah, the whole idea of the why, you know, and continuing to move forward, because, you know, like you said, it's okay to do the grinding because you know what you're doing it for. And he talks about that on page 32. I told you I got a whole bunch of pages written down over here. Like, I could just go at it, but I'll leave a little bit to the suspense of those who have not had the opportunity to read. But
fair enough.
But yeah, so, you know, focusing on that why, and what I liked about that part, James, was, and I could actually attest to this, like, really. And more recently than some might think, you know, but this is when, you know, being in business, you have to be very transparent. But you put on here and you say, when you are desperate for money and you really need it, you're more likely to stress yourself and come short of your goal. And the reason for that is because you're so worried about the money, and it says that fear of not being able to pay your bills will dominate your mind, and that becomes your focus and not on running your business.
Yes.
But then you started talking about how changing that around. If you want to jump into that, you know, and give us a little bit more, because I really like the way that you put that out there. And I was like, wow, like, I can relate to that, because we focus so much on trying to get the money, not realizing that that's when we really fall short, instead of focusing on doing what we do best, which is running the business, and it'll come.
Yeah. And that is probably, if I had a list of beginning and aspiring entrepreneur downfalls, that would definitely be somewhere in the top five, is focusing entirely too much on money, because making money in business is cause and effect. So if you don't concentrate on the causes, you're not going to get the effect. If you're only concentrated on the effect, then you're not doing the cause, so you're not going to get the effect. And I know it sounds weird, because when I first heard it, it sounded weird to me. It's like, well, I'm out here hustling to get money. And I had a teacher, I don't go so far as to call him a mentor, I didn't really hang around him like that, but he was like, no, man, you're looking at this backwards, because what you're doing is you need to concentrate on what you're doing. And I was like, what do you mean by that? Because, okay, now you're talking in riddles. But what he meant is, the money comes as long as you're doing what it takes for it to come. So we don't really concentrate on the money. Yes, we want money, but you need to concentrate daily, and this goes back to the importance of time and your daily grind and what you need to be doing daily. We concentrate on doing the things that reach out to our market, reach out to our customers, get them interested, make connections. That's what we concentrate on. This is where your focus is at. And this is another reason why I don't urge anybody, if you're really not ready to jump out full-time as an entrepreneur, don't do it, because I did, and I'm telling you, it is a form of mental hell, because you're so caught up in, oh, I need to get this, I have to make this amount of money today, I have to do this, I have to, and you are so worried and so stressed that your entire thought process, your decisions, they come from a place of fear instead of a place of business. I don't know. Does that make sense, or do I need to explain it another way?
No, it makes sense. I'm hoping it's making sense for the other people on the call.
So, yeah, when you're moving mentally, because this is now I focus so much on what we call inner game or mindset, is because the way you think determines the decisions that you make. So if you're focused on or moving out of fear or desperation, your decisions are going to be entirely different because your focus is different. Now, if I told any one of you, drop what you're doing right now, go out, go on 285 and go play in traffic, you would look at me like, James, that is the stupidest thing you could ever say to me. Why? Because in your mind you say, well, that's dangerous. I can get hurt. And that's what you have in your mind. So you're not going to make that decision based on your safety. Now, if I said to you, go out right now and go talk to 10 people and hand them your business cards, depending on how you think, if you're scared and you have that in your mind, you're not comfortable. Oh, I'm not comfortable. I'm not good at talking to people. I don't know how to do this. That is what you're going to be focusing on. So when you're standing in front of these people, if you can even get up the courage to approach these people, in your mind, you're going to be like, I don't know how to do this. I don't know what to say. I don't know. That's where your focus is at. So everything that comes out of your mouth, the decisions that you make, they're going to come from a wrong place instead of a sincere place. You want to grow your business. There was a time when I first started business, I was almost ashamed. I know this is, I don't tell people this too often, but it's the truth. There was a time when I was almost ashamed to take money for products that I was selling. And I had to switch that mindset. I know it sounds weird. All this business stuff I was learning, and I wanted to be in business. But when it came to make the sale and exchange money, I felt bad about it, like wrong about it, although they wanted what I had. And I had to trace this back to where this came from. But because I thought this way, it affected how I approached people, how I talked to people, how I displayed my products, how I explained my products, how I sold my products. So the way you think determines the decisions that you make. So if your overall mentality is kind of twisted, what comes from you is going to be kind of twisted. It's going to come off a little funny. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, and you said to end that point, you made a point in here saying, you know, focus on doing the work, not on the money. If you do the work properly, the money will come. And the analogy you made was it's like fishing. You go at the right time to the right area with the right bait, you're bound to come up with something. And you have to stay focused on that why, because if you don't, then it's just gonna fall apart.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, your why has to be bigger than the money. That's just, if you don't know anything else, when you start your business, your why has to be bigger than the money. There's no other way.
Money is not going to keep you motivated. I'm sorry, it's not.
Mm-mm.
It's not going to keep you motivated because this stuff is not happy, go lucky, skipping through, you know, lush fields and enjoying ourselves all the time. It's just, that's not how, it's not life. You know, it's not real. So those times where you get frustrated, and like you said, you keep hearing no and no and no, and you're just like, oh, why am I doing this? You know, you have all those thoughts of self-doubt and self-worry, and, you know, you might even feel a drop in your self-esteem or even your self-image. But that's what happens when you just focus on money, because when that money's not coming in, and when you first start a business, you're not really going to see a lot of money coming in. You know?
Right. That's that acceptance phase. You know, those first couple, 2 to 3 years, if you make money, that's great, but don't expect to. That's the way I see it. You know, and I think that it's really all about accepting the realities of entrepreneurship. And how do you accept those realities? You got to educate yourself. Look at the statistics and look at what's happening with those success. Even those successful business owners will tell you the same thing. It's no different. You know, but you have to go through that acceptance phase, you know, as you're going through business. And one of the events that I went to the other day, you all may have heard of her, Becky Davis. She's on, you should find her on Facebook, but she's been on Oprah and everything. And she made a point, and she said that, in 1 second, I think it just left my brain. I'll come back to it. I'll come back to that. But she made a very good point. It was just on the tip of my tongue talking about that. But I'll come back to that. But, James, on the money side, the money side, when you were talking about the money, and you just said that, you know, you had a problem taking the money from the people. Well, I just recently went through a whole pricing restructure of my business. And I was sitting here reading this like, man, you know, but at the same time, I realized that my past, there were some things in my past from past, from when I was in middle school, high school, that actually affected me pricing my business appropriately. And I really, really, really like what you put on page 30. And it said, hold on, I'm going to tell you exactly what it says. Okay. It says, when you do give, don't you feel good about it? How do you think people feel when they give to you? Don't deny them of the joy of giving. If you work for it and they give it to you of their own free will, then just accept it and be grateful. And I was like, wow, like that really puts a different perspective when it comes to pricing, because you've done a lot of work, and a lot of times we're like, yeah, I know I did a lot of work, but I really don't want to charge them this much, but I know personally, I agree with paying people what they're worth. You know, I agree with that. If I set up a payment plan, I will pay you what you are worth, and I feel good about it because I know that you deserve every penny that I just gave you, whether it's monetary. It can be anything. It can be my time that I'm giving back to you or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I think we all need to open ourselves up more to receiving, because it does become difficult. You know, and like I said, mine stemmed from my background, which I honestly didn't even realize until maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago. It was a really big struggle for me, and I just went through this big struggle when it came to the pricing, and then I realized, well, wait, all of this is stemming from like 15, 16 years old. Like, what's going on here?
Yeah, and that's one thing beautiful about being an entrepreneur, kind of a side effect, if you will, is you actually learn a lot about yourself in the weirdest ways. Just like you were saying, you just had that moment of self-realization that is helping you grow as a person, but it came through you being an entrepreneur. You know, that's a whole other subject. But, yeah, that's something that I grew a lot being an entrepreneur. I'll just put it like that. I know I had a lot of
I think that's the subject. We might need to turn that into a talking topic. What y'all think? I think that's a pretty deep subject right there.
Yeah, because I learned a lot in business. I know I learned how to be more confident. I learned how to speak to people because I wasn't shy so much. I just didn't like talking to people when I was growing up. I got over all of that. You know what I'm saying? I had average self-esteem, average self-image, and just being an entrepreneur and getting myself out there and started to kind of get rid of all these old programs. I'll just call them programs. All this kind of old programming that I had that wasn't helping me in the lifestyle that I was going into. You just have to deal with those things. And sometimes they're hard. You know, sometimes, you know, I would sit in my room and just sit there like, man, I don't feel like even dealing with anybody today because I just had all this inner turmoil going on inside of me, fighting with old programming versus who I'm trying to become. And this is something that I teach on the self-empowerment side, is you have to become first. Whatever you're trying to do, you have to become it first. A lot of people try to, they have a goal, something external, and they're working toward it. But in order for you to really earn what you're trying to go after, there's a person that you have to become first. And this is why a lot of people never make it and complete their goals. They never become that person that has the right and has earned the right to have and hold whatever it is they're trying to do. And that comes from inner growth or self-growth or, as we just say today, self-empowerment.
After a few words, I had enjoyed the conversation. Some things was like a light bulb that went off in my head. Oh my goodness, let me get my thoughts together. One thing about, you know, just starting your own business, how he was saying how he read a lot, I hear that a lot from a lot of people who are entrepreneurs. They're always reading a lot of things to get information just to be stronger. I do believe not following the money, but I'm more big on, I want to make money, but more big on really making good connections and good relationships and being intentional about what I'm doing. But I enjoyed the conversation, and I got a lot of different points, even though I don't have the book yet.
Yeah, no problem.
I really appreciate being, you know, a new entrepreneur. Awesome.
I just want to say that I won't talk a lot. I've been talking a lot, haven't I, y'all? I told y'all this is more. This isn't that. It's not supposed to be that professional, okay? But you know, remember why you're doing what you're doing. And there's a quote in the book on page 30. Y'all should write all these page numbers down so when you get there, you'll know what we're talking about. I don't even know if it's a quote or not. Well, he wrote it. He wrote the book, so we're going to call it a quote.
Okay. Fair enough.
Wait, no. Page 34. It says, your reason should be one of the first things you think about when you wake up and one of the last thoughts on your mind when you go to bed. It should be that strong. It should be that important to you. So that goes back to the why. And he said, if your reason why does not move you, then you have the wrong reason. That means your motivation. If it's not pushing you, if it's not inspiring you, if it's not telling you you need to get up and go like now, if it's not helping you to create opportunities for yourself, if it's not helping you do all of that, then you need to find another reason, add to the reason, but make it stronger so that you will have that self-motivation. I talk a lot about self-motivation. We can't always, you know, depend on other people to motivate us. We just can't. Mm-hmm. There's so many self-motivation techniques out there that you can do, and it really does help push you yourself instead of having to wait for somebody else. If I've learned nothing else in the past, let me see, how many years has it been? Don't tell my husband, but it's been almost 9 years, right? So for the last 9 years of being with my husband, one of the things that I learned from him, two things, but one of the most important things related to business has been that everything that I have is inside of me, and it's just a matter of bringing it out of me. Mm-hmm. And it took me a long time to understand that concept, and I was fighting it, and I was like, no, I'm not supposed to be an entrepreneur. No, this is not for me, I promise you. And James can tell you, too, I was totally different when he first met me than I am today. And there's no way that you could have told me 5-6 years ago that I was ever going to be an entrepreneur, because I would have told you, absolutely not. I'm going to work. I like my money every 2 weeks. The check is in my bank account. I'm good. I'm not an entrepreneur. But then when you really start learning how to really look within yourself and you look at the reasons why you want to do something, it really, really, really makes a difference. But James, thank you so much. It's so much. Y'all, read page 40 about perceived power. That's powerful. That's some powerful stuff right there, because I can relate to that too. And I think that's something that we all need to understand, having that confidence and everything. James, I'm just going to take over your book, okay? I'm going to try to be quiet now.
But real quick, like the reason why, the easiest way to look at it is that is your power. It fuels everything you do. I mean, it's literally like gas that you put in your car. You can have the best, fanciest, most expensive car sitting in your driveway, but if you don't have any gas in it, it's not going to take you anywhere. And that's the same thing that I find. A lot of entrepreneurs, they read a lot. I did the same thing. I understand the mindset. Read a lot, study a lot, I didn't have an opportunity to go to events, but nowadays go to a lot of events and you start getting and accumulating all this information. But you don't have a strong, like you were saying, you don't always have people to motivate you. You have to, as an entrepreneur, you have to be self-motivated. And that reason why, that is your power. That is your fuel. That is like you can have a microwave on your counter, but if it's not plugged into an electrical socket, it's not going to work. So the microwave has a potential to do a lot of things. But without that power, it can't do anything at all. It's dead. And it's the same thing with you personally and having that reason why. It's extremely important to have a reason why. Okay, I'll just leave that there.
I completely agree. I just went through something like that because it was just, I was starting to feel weighed down and I wasn't liking my Mondays anymore. And da 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 da. So, but I just kept going and I wasn't quite, I wasn't going with the change. And sometimes your business has to change and that's just what happens. Because then it was like, oh, apparently my why has changed and that's why. So now I can't solve the problems that I want to solve over here, so I have to change into this, and my why has to change a little. And my picture, because if you stay in that stuck mode, then you're just heavy, and it's no longer fun.
Excellent point. Yeah. That's an excellent point. Your reason why can change. It absolutely can.
Yep, and you did mention that in the book, too, but I won't say anything about that either. he did mention that. It can change. It can change. Okay, what you got?
Can you guys hear me okay? Okay. Well, I really like the book because all of the stuff James just explained and said how he came about writing it, you know, of course, that's in the book. I wouldn't have never thought that he sold jewelry. So that was like a wow to me. And what I'm really getting from it now is he talks about the game a lot, and that's I'm still trying to wrap my mind around the whole game concept. I mean, I like all of the different avenues that he's taking me through, you know, step by step of trying to find out actually what people like and how you are going to provide a service to them and what to do, what not to do. You know, all of that is really good information. So I'm really very interested in digging deep into the book. I haven't had a chance to get read as much as I would like to, but I am looking forward to it.
Very nice. So you want to understand more about the game aspect. Is that correct?
Right. Yes.
Okay.
Right.
Well, there's a lot of different definitions and different ways to understand the game. In my other book, Revealing the Secrets of the Game, I go very, very deep into that understanding. As it's applied to business, you need to understand that business itself really is a game. And like any game, there are winners and there are losers. There are ways that you can, if you have your strategies down, there are ways that you can get advantages in certain situations. And if you don't know what you're doing, you can actually lose advantage or put yourself in a disadvantageous situation. So it's literally like a game. There's strategy involved. And going back to why I wrote the book, a lot of those strategies, I don't know how far you've gotten in the book, but when I start going through the strategies, they're very, very simple, but they're very effective. Because what you're doing is you're working through a game. These are kind of like the unwritten rules. And as you're quote-unquote playing along, because that book is pretty much like a playbook, if you want to look at it like that. You know, this is when you, if you want to imagine that you're traveling from, let's say, New York to L.A., you're driving, you need a road map. So you need to know when to turn left, when to turn right, what highway to get on, what interstate to get on, where to get off, and for how many miles. So you can make sure that you get there in an efficient manner, safely, and hopefully at a good time. And that's what a kind of a playbook is. That's what that book is. It kind of presents this kind of roadmap for you. And I kept it, I hope I kept it, detailed enough where you can understand what I'm saying, but also I'm not trying to tell you what to do. I try to leave it open enough where you can put your own mind into it to expand on the concepts, to understand things better and apply it to whatever particular business that you have. And I'm a pretty much an inner game. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, yeah, you did keep it real detailed and very, very simple. I like that. And I like the example of the playbook because being that I'm the boss, I can change the rules whenever I want to.
Exactly.
To make them benefit me.
Exactly. Exactly. Just as long as you know how everything works, where all the working parts are, it's almost like a machine. If you know where all the working parts are and what each part does, you can take out parts, take out pieces, replace them with other pieces. You can redesign the way the whole machine works once you're very skilled. And that's what all that stuff is. They're bits and it's like a big toolbox, and those are all tools. So you can, let's say something happened to your house, let's say the plumbing went bad, and you're like, oh my gosh. If you don't know anything about plumbing, you're going to have to call somebody that understands plumbing. And they might just come in and do one thing, and you're about to pay them like $250 for that. You're like, dang, you just did one thing. But he understands how to identify the problem and what needs to be done to fix it because he has the what we call knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. He understands how those things work and how those things play together and what needs to be done. And it's the same thing in business. When you understand the working parts of it, and there's many working parts. I'm not going to say learning business is easy because there are a lot of working parts. But the basic foundation of it, yeah, absolutely. Once you understand why those things are there, then you can you can start bending rules and breaking rules. Well, I won't say break, but you can start bending rules and changing things to reformulate things so that they work for you. That's absolutely
right.
Correct.
And another thing that I wanted to share, I really like how you describe I like how you gave the definition of a hustler because if you have a business, no matter, you know, if you think that you're good at this business or you got all of the working parts or whatever, if you're not a true hustler, it's not going to work for you. And that's just
mm-hmm.
my opinion.
Mm-hmm. No. Absolutely. You need a business acumen. You need a business acumen. You have to be on your stuff.
Right, at all times. Looking for every opportunity. For example, I met this young lady. Well, she already knew me. I just forgot her at Kaiser today. And I don't really, you know, chat with her much or whatever. But when she asked for my number, before even hesitating, I gave her my number. Even though I knew I wouldn't call her or chat with her, but I'm already thinking ahead, like, because the next party I have, you're going to be on the invite list.
Right. And even if, you know, and you can work through because the game itself, not just the business game, but just the game in general, it works through people because all this stuff works through people. Without people, the game itself would not exist. There'd be no purpose for it. And that goes off into a whole, you know, different understanding of the game. But just to keep it on the business level, you're a business owner. So your revenue, your profit, it comes from people. So you kind of have to understand people, because all this stuff works through people.
Right.
But yeah, you definitely need to have that. You do have to hustle. And this is why I spend so much time. A lot of the game that I do teach is a lot of it's inner game to get your mindset right, because that right there, that was one of the biggest things I was missing when I started. I understood simple concepts, you know, profit, loss, revenue. I understood basic advertising and marketing, and all this stuff is great, and all that stuff comes in handy. Well, not all of it, but a lot of that stuff came in handy later. But to motivate myself, to understand what I needed to be doing on a daily basis, and to keep myself in motion doing those things, that's inner game. That's the stuff I was missing, how to talk to people, how to present myself, how to, you know, certain word choices are extremely important, because it could turn people off from you in an instant. And I didn't understand all this stuff. I had to learn all this stuff. And a lot of that I learned through trial and error, and as I developed and people saw me hustling and respected my hustling, those people that were more advanced than I was, they started to explain things to me. And then, of course, once I understood what they were really trying to tell me, then, you know, your game expands that way. But if you can't start, you're never going to get to that point.
Right. I'm going to go into some of the pages on the book. And like I told you, James, I had one major question, and mm-hmm. I kind of found it kind of interesting that I'm not sure if you were negating this or if there was just more to it. So when I was in high school, one of the biggest things that in my marketing class, I was in the international business class, business program, and the one thing that they drilled in our heads consistently, and when I say consistently, it was like that if I didn't walk out of that school with anything else in my head, it was when you get ready to start a brick and mortar, basically, it's location, 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 right?
Right.
But then in your book on page 91,
are you on mute?
It says product or service quality combined with customer service is more important than location in the long run, but a good convenient location is an extremely valuable asset in the beginning. Help me out.
Yes. Okay. When you're looking at a physical location, anybody that's studied, I don't know how much, what everybody's quote-unquote level, I hate that word, but what everybody's quote-unquote level here is, but when you're looking at a physical location, of course you need some type of presence. Now, if you're starting something that nobody knows about, just you being near an area with heavy foot traffic, being next to already notable and recognized other physical stores, well-known brand names, that alone right there puts you in a position to at least be acknowledged. I don't mean you're going to start getting customers, but if you have a good overall presence, if you're in a plaza, you know, a nice big sign, correct use of color, you know, correct use of image. If you're on the side of a road, very, very strong street presence is extremely important. It draws the attention. And that's all that stuff is for at the end of the day. It's just to draw the attention. But when it comes down to it, every customer you serve, you need to look at them as though they're going to be paying you for years. Whatever dime they spend with you for that day, you need to look at them as their overall value for what they're going to be paying to you over years. So every customer, as a small business, every customer, quote-unquote, experience that you mess up, you're actually, we just talked about this, you know, business being a game, you're actually playing yourself out of your own game. Because it's the customer experience, it's your quality of service, your quality of product, whatever you're selling, that you have to consistently deliver on. That generates the word-of-mouth advertising, which a small business needs because you don't have a huge advertising budget. So the repetition that you're looking for that comes from advertising and marketing is generated by word-of-mouth. The best way that can happen is from the overall customer experience. That's the big buzzword over the last few years. So I'll just use that. But it's the overall customer experience. So even if you don't have a good location, people, if you're, let's just say you have a restaurant, I'm pretty sure each of you ladies on this call have gone out of your way to go to restaurants that may not be in a very heavy traffic location, but the food is good, you enjoy going there, you like the atmosphere, or whatever it may be. But they're not necessarily in the best location, but you still go, and you go out of your way to go. That's the concept I'm talking about here, because over the long run, over the long haul, it's the overall customer experience that matters. When you're starting, a good location is very important. And I need to add this in because it really does depend on your business. It depends on your products or service that you're selling as well, how important that is. But always at the end of the day, customer experience, bottom line.
Okay. All right. So then, so like you said, basically it's in the beginning, you do want to look at the location, but overall, you when you're looking at that big picture, it's about building those relationships, which clearly when you're taught, and I don't know about in college, I didn't go to college for business, but when people talk to you about getting a location and finding a location, no one ever talks to you about building those relationships in that area, which is something that you really went in depth about. They're always just like location, location, location. Find a good location. Are these people going to buy from you? Well, you know, you can do your research in so many ways, but it's not really building the relationship with them before you get there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm like this. You can have the best location in in the world. You can have the best spot. But if people don't like what you do, what does it matter? That's like having one of the most expensive cars in the world, let's just say a very, very high-end Rolls Royce. You got it in the driveway, but it doesn't have any gas in it. I mean, who cares? It's sitting in the mm-hmm. it's sitting in the garage. What good is that doing for you? You know what I'm saying? So it's the same thing with location. Yeah, that's important, but at the end of the day, if people don't like what you do, when that word of mouth spreads, it doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter where your business is at. People are not going to mess with you.
Right, and Sabrina, I'm sorry, James, I didn't mean to cut you off. Just to kind of piggyback off of what he said, just for instance, lead, how we were in the location that we just left, where we had our mm-hmm. monthly seminars at, you know, mm-hmm. that's kind of far from Decatur where I live, but I love it so much, and I was getting so much out of the seminars. If I had to drive to Macon once a month, I would have done that because, yeah, the location wasn't really good for me, but it was the service that I was getting from Lead.
Hmm.
Okay. Awesome.
That's a good point.
Oh, I want to say, so I so agree with about, like, how she was just saying you're going to travel, and just how he was saying you're going to travel for good service. It makes a difference. I mean, I think location is key for different things that, you know, depending on, like you say, your business. But service is real key for me as not only as a businesswoman, but when I go into things, everywhere I go, I look at that. Service, how people speak it, are they professional, do they know what they're doing, you know,
exactly.
Did you handle stuff right, you know, I look at that, like, who's over you, like, I look at that wherever I go, and I mean, from doctor's office to shopping, because if you're not doing, you know, you may have a good product, but if the people is not having good service with your customers and stuff, it's a turn off.
Yeah. Because, I mean, it's a package deal. You know what I'm saying? It goes together like peanut butter and jelly. It's a package.
Yeah.
And you're not just, and I mean, back when I used to teach this stuff a long time ago, people understand it now because there's a lot of information out here for entrepreneurs, which is a great thing. But some people have had a problem understanding this is a package deal, and they spend a lot of time and energy trying to get, you know, good quality products and, you know, good service, which is, and if they provide a service, which is good. But you also need to have the other end of that, because I'll say it like this, this is about as simple as I can make it. The way people respond to your products or your service, the way people respond to your overall business and talk about your business, that is what is going to determine the success of your business. That right there. That the way people speak about your product or service and your overall business, that creates business success for a small business. Period. That determines your financial future as a small business owner. Period. And some people. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I'm just going to say I guess it really sat with me because I like the fact that, you know, like you were saying, you learn all these things in the beginning, but it's not really getting you where you need to be. And the fact that you did put all of that in there as a package deal instead of everyone just focusing on location, because I'll be honest with you, before I started my first business with maternity consignment, it was like, okay, well, the biggest thing for me was, where am I going to put my store? I wasn't thinking, yes, I knew I had to have good service, and we know we have to have good service, but we don't think about it as that package deal, because all that's been drilled in our head is location, location, location. So that was the only thing that I was focusing on. I wasn't focusing on, okay, how am I going to really relate to the customers in this area? I was like, let me find the location first, then do all of that, when really we should be doing all of that at the same time from what I'm getting out of this book.
Yeah, because there's a place next to me. It's a little restaurant. I'm not going to put the name on blast. Okay, but they sell, you know, it's a little shack type thing, right? Now, I went up there to go buy some shrimp, right? Because they sell shrimp. So the lady who took my order, she wasn't, you know, that friendly. It's late at night. She looks a little tired. That doesn't bother me too much. I kind of understand. I worked in fast food restaurants before. I get it. I'm not tripping. She wasn't rude. She just wasn't, you know, very personable. Now, when I got my food, though, you know, it's shrimp, so it's fried shrimp. And the price I paid for it and what I got, I'm looking at no, because, you know, it's greasy. It wasn't good. Just overall, I wasn't pleased with my, quote-unquote, overall customer experience. Now, because of that, that's in my head, and I've never been back there, and I have no desire to go back there. I pass that place almost every day, and I will not stop. I will go out of my way to go somewhere else if I want to grab something that's near my house on the way home. Now, imagine me, somebody that had the same experience as myself and thinks along, you know, similar lines to myself. Just imagine if they had the same experience I had. Over months, imagine over just a year, let's just say 1 year, imagine 100, 200 people like me that had a bad experience that won't go back there. Imagine how much money they just lost. You understand what I'm saying? It's
right.
A package deal.
Right.
Right. I'm sorry. Let me put this in here, because that reminds me of when you got that collateral that you needed from that guy that you got it printed. And they came out terrible.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Now, if anybody ever came to you with that company name and asked you about that guy, would you recommend that person? Heck no.
Absolutely not.
Yeah. Oh. Now, and then I saw it too. And I'm like, this is pretty bad. So you have two. I didn't even buy from him. I'm just a witness to this, right? But if anybody asked me about that company, I'd be like, no. And I didn't even personally have an experience with him. That's how powerful this stuff is. I didn't personally have an experience with that company. But if somebody came to me and asked me, is this a good place to get, you know, business cards, postcards, I would say no. And I've never personally bought anything from them. You know, the word of mouth, it spreads like wildfire. And you have to be very on top of what you're doing and how you're doing it all the time. Going back to game, that is part of your game. This is how you win.
Yeah.
You know, you don't get on the court if you, you know what I'm saying, and play basketball if you, you know, were drunk last night. You're not going to perform well. You're just not. You understand?
And I think in that case, it was like, you know, his service was okay. You know, he tried to fix the problem, but what made it worse was that the second batch came back the same. So so it was like, what am I going to do with these postcards? And it was just embarrassed to use them.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's terrible. It's terrible. Yeah.
Questions, concerns, comments?
No.
Okay.
She is so shy.
Sorry, I haven't, but I'm enjoying the conversation because, like I said, I'm big on things like that. Like, for instance, I feel like, just for example, I'm just talking. Like, I have two Krogers by me, and, you know, I'm from the north, so, you know, I'm new down here, so things are different for me in general. Just the way y'all do things in the south compared to what we do up north.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing I have to say is that, like I said, everywhere I go, I look at people's customer service, because even if I haven't been, like James was just expressing, he went somewhere, and you think about all those people who could pass it by, and people don't realize that your first impression of somebody, your first impression of their business can really can tear somebody's business apart. Easily, because word of mouth do spread like wildfire. Because we always ask people different things all day long. Like, where did you get that from, this and this? Because we're in contact with people every day.
Mm-hmm.
But like I was saying, I feel like customer service will get me to come back. Even if your product is not the best, if you have good customer service, I will come back. So I feel like it's just personal. And I think one company that, since I've been here, that does pretty well with that is Publix. Now, Publix and Kroger, they're both supermarkets.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Publix logo is that when you come, the shop is an experience. And it is. Like, when I come in there, they're always helpful. Most of the time, they're cheerful. I don't have to be looking for somebody to help me. People's right on deck. I like that. Now, their prices ain't the best, but their customer service is the best. And I live by two Krogers. When I go in Kroger, I'm always got to look for something. You can't find somebody to help you, and that means a lot. And their prices is much cheaper. People is going to shop where they appreciate. I know for me, I'm going to shop where I'm appreciated at. Where people value my business. This is my money that I work hard for when I'm spending it. I'm not going to spend it anywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Yep. I used to mystery shop for Publix, so that's and I will say they ended up, out of all the companies that I did mystery shop for, they were probably the best and the easiest to actually do, because they were the ones who were actually doing what they were supposed to do when I went through the door.
I'm telling you, that makes a big difference. And like I said, I look at that everywhere I go, because after a while, you can mess up. I'm going to count how many times you mess up when I go to you, but after a while, I see too many mess up, too many unprofessional, I'm going somewhere else. Something like that.
Yeah.
And James said, you don't matter how far you got to go, because at the end of the day, it's all about the service you're providing. Because you got to remember, it's 101 people doing the same thing you're doing. You're not the only one.
Exactly. I'm glad you brought that up, because I was just about to say that.
Especially
nowadays.
So you got to make yourself stand out.
Yeah, exactly. Perfectly said. You have to make yourself stand out. Your voice as a business, it can't sound like everybody else's voice. It can't. It can't. And it's so easy to start a business nowadays. You have a lot of people, you know, jumping in a pool. A lot of them don't know how to swim, so you don't have to worry about them. But those that are trying to swim or learning to swim, you still have to be able to excel past them. And this stuff is not hard. It's just a matter of putting in the work. A lot of people don't want to put in the work. to make something what it need to make your business what it needs to be. A lot of people don't want to put in the work. This is work. It should be enjoyable. Hopefully you put yourself in a business or something that you enjoy. But this is work, yeah. Like every day. I'm on my stuff every single day. Do I feel like it every day? No. But do I do it? Yes. You know, because I always look at stuff over a period of time. Like, I know this old popular saying, you know, what you do today, you know, determines your future, which is true, which is very, very true. So if you're firing at all cylinders, you're working at maximum efficiency to the best of your ability every day. Although you might not see the return of that, and I learned this when I was on the streets, you might not see the return of that. It might be a year, 2 years. But when that stuff starts coming back, it comes back, you know, threefold, fourfold. Because what I did on the streets, there's a lot of people that did the exact same thing. But people would literally go from one side of town to another side of town just to mess with me. And they would tell me why they did it. And that was because they appreciated my customer service. If they ever had a problem, I don't question it. Just give it back to me. I'll replace it. No questions asked. No problem. Don't even worry about it. And you don't have to explain to me anything. Don't even worry about it. I got you. You know, and people appreciated that so much. Again, going back to word of mouth advertising, people that were a little bit closer to my locations, you know, because I used to move around, I was mobile, but people that, you know, they would refer, like, oh, they, you know, give me a number. I have people call me that I didn't even know. Oh, my cousin buys from you. Oh, my uncle buys from you. Oh, my aunt buys from you. I know you don't know me, but, you know, I would like to meet up, or where you're going to be at, and this and this and that. That's how my business grew. So when I figured that out, because, you know, you hear that a lot, but when it was in my face and I was able to actually experience and go through it, then I can say, I know this works. I know it works. I've been through it. I've done it. I've experienced it. I know it works. And it's not hard to do if you care and you're on top of your game.
Yeah.
Very good. Mr. James Dennis is a solid goal with a unique effort put in will always pay off. And I think the word unique is what you got to kind of look at all times, just to be different.
Yeah,
that
be
was
different.
By Mr. James Dennis.
Thank you.
Okay. See, I thought I was about to lose it for a minute because I was like, man, that sounds like Brian, James, and Anton. What's going on? Where are you coming from right now? Okay. I was like, these three, yep, that's them. Okay, see, you're about to join our little family over here, okay?
Oh, I thought I was already found.
Girl, you have to get you have to get deeper. You're getting deeper.
Okay.
Oh my gosh, there's so much, James. That was good. One of the things that I wanted to bring to everyone's attention, which we may not have a lot of time to talk about it, but on page 103 and 104, you were talking about the upselling, the front end and back end sales. And I think for me, what stood out with that was, yes, we go into retail stores, and, you know, even if you worked in retail or worked at a fast food, like, you need to upsell. But I don't know if I think we know that we have to have those things when it comes to our service-based businesses, but we really don't look at it as an upsell. And that really when I started reading what you were writing about that, so you all are going to have to go take a look at it. But when I started reading it, I'm like, okay. So, and the front end and back end is not really in service. It's not the, okay, I got you this free offer. Now you can sign up for this and you can sign up for that. I think it's more of, like you said, with those, the maintenance fees, you know, for somebody, you gave an example with the nail, the mobile nail technician or whatever. Mm-hmm. Manicurist, whomever she was, and then she booked it by saying, okay, you could just pay a monthly fee and I'll come out here, you know.
Right.
But I think understanding that it's needed in both service-based businesses as well as, you know, having the product it's very important, and that kind of helps keep your business going too when you are able to do that effectively. So it's definitely got me thinking about some things on my own business here. But I think you all should believe that.
Yeah, because every business has slow periods. I don't care what you're into. Every business has a slow period. So when you have these things established as you're starting, or even before you get started, and you start plotting these things out, those things right there, those help you get through slow periods. Because every business is a little different, so the slow periods are a little bit different. Just generally speaking, Tuesdays for retail is the slowest retail day, just generally speaking for retail. That's like the slowest retail day. So what they used to do, which they don't do anymore, but a lot of companies, they used to run their sales on Tuesday to bring in extra business. But now, you know, we're modern and we have email. They just shoot you an email now, you know, 30% off, coupons and stuff like that. It's still the same idea because they want you to keep coming back and spending money. So even if they might be losing, like, it's Halloween now. So, I go to Michael's. I'm a craftsman, not really, but I'll be going to Michael's. And, you know, I get stuff from there, so I'm on their email list. And, you know, they, you know, send an email, so it's Halloween. So it's like all their stuff, Halloween stuff now, it's like it went from like 40% off, 50% off, and then I got an email either yesterday morning or this morning, like all Halloween stuff, 60% off. Now, thinking business-wise, I know they're not making a lot of money on that stuff. But when you have an offer like that, you're looking at the overall, because you got to think about all the Michael stores, right? And so many people going in getting these discounts. So although the Halloween stuff, because they already put up the money for it, because I explain this in the book as well, your money's really made the day you buy something, if you're reselling something. The money's made the day you buy it. So if you can buy it at a good price, you have the room, you know, for, you know, significant discounts. But if you have enough people buying, even though you have a very, very large discount, it's just the overall volume of what you're doing that makes up for it. So you're getting, like, stacks of profit or cash very quickly, which is one of the definitions of hustling. So, you know, you need to have this stuff already worked out. Like a young lady who took my Hustler Blueprint class, and she's just starting out. So right now she's just selling stuff on eBay. And I'm letting her know, like, okay, look, you got Thanksgiving coming up, and you have Christmas coming up. And people expect, because we've been programmed, quote-unquote, to expect deals around the holidays. So instead of waiting for that time to just hit, what you need to do now is looking at what you're selling, what's selling well, your best-selling items, and you need to start making package deals, bundles, and have them at a discount, and have them things ready to go for the holidays, because people are already going to be looking for deals. So start that stuff now. You can start advertising and pushing that stuff now. I would actually do it November 1st, bomb, or a week after. Get that stuff cracking and run that stuff all the way to, you know, Christmas time. Have those bundles up, ready to go, whatever you need to do to keep that stuff going, because people are looking for deals. It's just automatic. Thanksgiving, Christmas time, I'm looking for deals. I'm looking for what I need at the best price possible. And if you're able to provide that and do it well, you know, you'll be okay for the holidays. Because generally speaking, things slow down around Thanksgiving, because that is the biggest travel time in America. So there's family, people are traveling, driving, flying. So retail actually slows down around Thanksgiving because people are investing in travel and being with their families. Groceries, of course, all that stuff goes up. Retail in general goes down. So this is why they started Black Friday, Cyber Monday. And that is to reinstill the buying to boost up things for the last quarter for retail. All this stuff is a game, and they figured this stuff out. And you just need to understand these ideas and apply these things to what you're doing in your business, because they already set up the blueprint. You just have to follow it, and it works.
Mm-hmm.
It works. And this works in service as well as actual selling products.
Well, as I said on the last call, I had like maybe 10 or 12 things that we could have talked about tonight, but we're about out of time here. Does anyone else have anything that they want to add? So, I guess on that note, I'm going to say with Mr. Dennis' book, a couple of the pages, if you have pen and paper, you may want to jot this down. Page 100, make sure you read that in detail. It talked about okay to say no, which is extremely important. Page 102, if you know me well enough, if you don't know me well enough, you will learn that networking is a power of mine, and I love it. And I actually feel out of place when I'm not networking, which 5 years ago I would not have been able to say the same thing. So I have grown so much, and I love networking. So please read 102 as it relates to networking and picking up those tips, because in your business, especially in small business, that's where the power is. That's how we grow. It's all about networking, connecting with people who are going to either refer our business, purchase our products or services, be there as some type of support for us. It may just be emotional support that we need, but it's all about the networking that's going to help us going, collaborating with others. I can talk about that all day. Page 105, super, super, super important to those new and aspiring entrepreneurs. Great section about you being your worst enemy, you being in your own way. That's powerful. And that's just basically saying you're not doing what you want to do. You're not doing what you need to do because of you. You're stopping yourself. But go read that. Brand yourself first and then the business. That's page 109. If you have not come up with a company name and slogan yet, page 113, he gave some really good tips about that. And our overall favorite slash not so favorite, page 118 to 119, was talking about social media. 75% casual conversation, 25% mentions of the business's products and services, and then 5% should actually be advertising. So I took a lot of notes and more that, you know, we could all talk about, but definitely go read through those pages. If you have not read the book, go ahead and get the book. You can find it on Amazon, Unlocking the Small Business Game by Mr. W. James Dennis. Get the book, even if you don't read it, you know, thoroughly from cover to cover, skim through the pages, find some different sections. I encourage you to read it from beginning to end because it is those, you got, he put the locks in there. He put the locks in there and told you how to unlock it. So,
yes. I know business books are traditionally kind of boring. I did my best not to make that book boring. And it kind of builds on itself. So I just start off with basic concepts. And as you're reading through the book, I start building on those concepts. So by the time you get to the end of the book, when we start talking about consumer psychology, customer psychology, that's the final lock, and all that stuff hopefully should turn on some light bulbs for you.
Yes, I will say that was the case. I did notice in the very beginning it was very basic, but it definitely built upon itself. So keep going, keep going, keep going. He talks about price points and negotiations. I mean, it's a lot of stuff in the book that we really need to know. So get the book, read the book. And Mr. Dennis, thank you again for coming on to the call with us. I'm really enjoying this book club thing. I didn't know I was going to enjoy it this much, to be honest with you, but I'm actually enjoying it. As I said before, I used to be a very avid reader until I had the first child, and then all of that went out the window. But this has definitely inspired me to read more. And honestly, about a year and a half ago, I was really saying to myself, man, I feel like I'm just not, I've lost all of my knowledge, and I really need to pick up a book. But I just wouldn't pick up the book. You know, this has just really helped me, and you're even a witness to me pulling out 5 or 6 books and saying, okay, I'm going to read this book this month, this book, and I never get around to reading the books. So this is definitely going to hold me accountable for myself that I have to read these books, and it's definitely been very rewarding. If you didn't get the first book, get the first book, Insider Tips. Oh, my gosh, amazing. 100 Ways to Increase Profit in Your Business. That, amazing. I mean, the books are really good, and I think there's a lot of information that we can pull from it. Next month, as Katina said, we will be taking a little bit of a twist on our book club. Next month's book is One Mind, One Heart, Many Hands. And as
that, that's
saying,
funny. That's funny. A little bit of a twist. That's it's a big twist, y'all.
It is written by my wonderful husband. I give him all praises. That's my husband, and I love him. And he wrote the book. It's being introduced to the group because it is important that before you get into a relationship, or if you're in a relationship, if you're just dating, number one, you know what you want to do. And number two, that you make sure that that person is really there for you and supporting you. And you're able to go through some steps with this book to make sure that, you know, before you get into that relationship, that you know that this is truly the person for you. But it's also reading the book and finding out, even if you're in a relationship, if this person is for you. So it helps you understand how to balance, because you, even though we want to run our business, but we also want to have a relationship, we have to know how to balance the two, and that's extremely important, extremely important. And just keep in mind, after reading the book, even though it says one mind, one heart, many hands, and it's dealing with love relationships and balancing your love life and your business, These are different techniques that you'll be reading about and different things that you can relate to your personal life and any relationship as well. So just keep that in mind as you're reading the book, and just think about ways that you can transfer that information over to something else. Mr. Dennis, you're welcome to join us on our virtual think tank if you'd like. It would be nice to have another guy on there, you know, since, you know, it's getting...
Oh, okay.
Come join us. You can be my guest. Be my guest on the virtual think tank. Because, you know, it's about us getting on there and really talking about our challenges and talking about the obstacles that we're going through in our business, and talking about the ideas that we may want to implement with our business, within our business, and just getting feedback from each other, you know. So if someone is having problems with marketing, maybe someone else on the call can give them an idea of something that they can implement that will be very cost effective. Because, again, we're all new entrepreneurs, and we don't have the money like that.
Right.
So,
right.
Join us on the call, and I'll give you the information, and, you know, you can jump in and give us some ideas as well.
Okay. That'll be my pleasure.
All right. It was nice talking to all of you.
Wait.
Yes.
Wait a minute. How you get these books? Because you didn't tell me that since I'm new. And I like a book, not the e-reader. So, Mr. James, your book is a hard copy or it's a, just a...
I have a hard copy of Mr. James' book.
Yeah, it comes in both formats, so whatever you're more comfortable with. Mm-hmm. And they're both on Amazon. Yeah, when you go to Amazon and just look on Unlocking a Small Business Game. Or you can go to my website, wjamesd.com, and there's a link there that'll take you to Amazon when you go through the books tab. And then once you're on Amazon, you can just choose which version that you would like. But I don't know. I gave Sabrina some paperback copies. I don't know if she still has any. You might be able to
I have two
her.
Left.
Okay.
I have two left.
And your book, your husband's book. It's a hard copy.
That's a hard copy. I have that book as well.
Okay. And I open it definitely. Okay. Thank you.
All right. Okay, so I will talk to you all on the 4th next week.
All right, guys. I enjoyed the call, and I will speak with each of you at a later date.
All right. Talk to you all later.
Have a good night.